Dear John writes, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This word heard, it means to understand, perceive what is said by the ear. This word seeing means to see with the eyes, the physical eyes, to look to. And notice that John has to write that. He says, with our eyes. He says that we looked upon. This Greek word is theomai. It means to view attentively, to learn by looking what is before you. That's the word John uses here.
Who opened your prison door?
Aloha, and welcome to God's Amazing Grace with Pastor Kaleo Searle from Calvary Chapel Leeward Coast, located in Waianae on the island of Oahu, where the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit is bringing salvation to the lost and discipling the saved. Now, let's study the Word of God.
Who came in the nick of time?
First John, man, John the disciple of Jesus Christ, John the apostle of Jesus Christ, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is the author of this book that we're going to start this morning, that we're going to dive into. John is also the author of 2nd and 3rd John, also the book of Revelation, and also the Gospel of John. The early church fathers like Irenaeus and Clement and Tertullian, they all ascribe this epistle to John as the author. And this letter was written around AD 95. Now, there's another thought that it was written around AD 65, which is about a 30 years difference. And I've studied both, and both have good points to them. I believe it's more towards the latter, around AD 95. Now, John writes this letter to the believers in Jesus Christ. Throughout this letter, we're going to continually see my little children. And so he's writing this to the children of God who are in the world. He'll also say, my brethren. So we know and understand that these are believers in Jesus Christ. The theme is fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ, and also fellowship with one another. And in this, there is an expectation how you and I are to live in this world. As we go through this letter, we're going to understand the purpose. And the purpose is that John wrote this letter to believers to address the false teachings that were being circulated amongst the church during this time. Primarily that Jesus' humanity was not real, that there was no incarnation, that he only appeared to have a physical body, but he was actually spirit. And the other side of it is that Jesus was only a man. But at the time of his baptism, the divine Christ descended on him and then left him before the crucifixion. All of these false doctrines and false teachings. You see, Jesus Christ was 100% man and he was 100% God. And John makes a strong argument to this truth. And that's what this letter is about. And as we always do when we start a new book of the Bible, I want you guys to understand all these things. That's why we go through this. Because it gives context of the scripture in which we're reading. The name John is from the Hebrew name Yohanan. So if you hear Yohanan or Yohanan, it's the Hebrew name for John. And it means Jehovah is gracious. He was the son of Zebedee. Mark 1, 19 through 20 tells us that. And he was also the younger brother of James. And we know that because every time James and John is mentioned, James is mentioned first, which gives that order of eldership. So in a Bible, when you read that, if someone is related and a name is written first, it means that they have the oldership or eldership or the authority, priority in that family. Now, his trade was a fisherman like his brother and father, in which Mark 1, 19, 20 also tells us that in many other places. In John chapter 1, verse 35 through 39, we see that John was first a disciple of John the Baptist, the one who baptized Jesus Christ in the Jordan River. But then after this, he began to follow Jesus. There's several accounts in the gospel where Jesus caused John and James, Simon and Andrew, the other two brothers, the other two fishermen. And he says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Leave all that you know and follow me. That's in Luke chapter 5, verse 10. And so we see that John becomes part of the core 12 disciples of Jesus. And in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, we have a list of these 12 men. There were many other disciples, but these were the core. John is the only disciple of the 12 that died of old age. Judas hung himself after he betrayed Jesus. The other 10 were all martyred, tortured, all killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. John was also part of the inner circle of disciples. Peter and James were the other two. When we read the gospel, we see accounts of this. The raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. That's in Luke chapter 8, verse 51. It was only Peter, James, and John that Jesus brought with him to do this. The Mount of Transfiguration, again, Luke chapter 9, verse 28. It was only these three that saw the glory of Christ and saw Elijah and Moses sent to prepare the Passover, John and Peter. Luke chapter 22, verse 8, in Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying and drops of blood was coming from his brow, before Jesus was arrested, it was John, Peter, and James. Mark chapter 4, verse 32 through 33. Now, in addition to this, John and Peter are the ones that followed Jesus to his trial. But it was only John that entered into the courtyard, which suggests a relationship between John's family and Caiaphas, the high priest, because not just anyone was allowed in there during trials in which they had, which was illegal according to the law, but they still had it. And they were the first disciples to run to and enter the empty tomb, talking about John and Peter. That's in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. And I love what John writes about that, because he says, when you read the Gospel of John and in this letter, he never mentions his name, speaking of his humility. But what he does say is the disciple that Jesus loved. He's talking about himself. And I love that. Or he says, the other disciple. He's talking about himself. He doesn't mention himself by name. And in this account, he says that he and Peter took off running to the tomb because Mary said that the tomb was empty. So Peter and John run to the tomb, and he says, and the other disciple outran Peter. I love that. John entered the empty tomb and saw that it was empty. John was the only disciple present when Jesus hung on the cross. It was only the women and John that were there. All the other disciples fled. but that was to fulfill prophecy. And it was at this time when Jesus hung on the cross in John chapter 19, verses 26 to 27, he looked at John and he looked at his mother, Mary, and he told John, from now on, this is your mother. John, you're going to take care of Mary. And Bible history tradition tells us that he fulfilled that request by Jesus Christ, and he stayed in Jerusalem with Mary until she passed away. After she passed away, that's when he left. And that's why we have the account of John pastoring the church in Ephesus and those other churches up there in which Paul established. I love when history puts everything together and backs up the scripture. John, along with the other apostles, witnessed the resurrected Jesus Christ. In John chapter 20, we have two accounts. The first day of the week, Jesus appeared to them when they were in the room together hiding because they were afraid. And Jesus suddenly appears to them in his resurrected body. And then 8 days later, he appears to them again. This is the account of Thomas. Because Thomas wasn't at the first appearing. At the second appearing, this is when Jesus said, Thomas, come touch. My doubting Thomas, come. And then in chapter 21 of John, we see them fishing up in Galilee. That's when Jesus calls out to them and says, hey, you guys catch anything? No. And he says, why don't you cast your net on the right side? And they cast their net, and it filled with fish. And it was John that said to Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter does a Jimmy Snuka off the boat. Thank you for you guys that know who Jimmy Snuka is. And he swims to shore. We spent time looking at these events, and this is just a screenshot, if you will, in which John personally witnessed these things, because John is going to start his letter with his own personal witness statement, if you will, of Jesus Christ, of these accounts that took place. Look with me at verse 1, please. Of 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Father, I pray that you would speak to us through the power of your word, Lord, that you would be magnified. I thank you for the truth, Lord. I thank you for John's life. I thank you that you took the time to pour into him. Father, just as you do right now, this very second, Lord, that's what you're doing with us. You're pouring into us the truth of who you are. So open our hearts, open our minds to receive this truth, Lord, so that our lives would be transformed, so that we would leave this place changed, Lord, forever changed. Not just a Sunday change, Lord, but a change that lasts until you take us home. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here we see in verse 1, John writes, that which was from the beginning. This word means origin. It means start. It also refers to the position of authority. Now, one thought is that this beginning is referring to Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God. The start of all creation. because Jesus was there, because Jesus is God. The Word of God tells us that everything was created by Him and through Him. Colossians chapter 1. And this is good scripture for you guys to know and understand when you share with somebody that Jesus is God. Because there's many false religions out there that say that He's not. And it's sad because thousands and thousands follow them. Verse 15 of Colossians 1 says this: He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That word firstborn, it refers to the authority, not that He was born. Verse 16, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consists. Hebrews 1 verse 2 also validates this. The other thought is that this beginning that John writes of is referring to the fulfillment of the first coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The prophetic word that became flesh, right? John 3:15. The promised seed that will come and bruise the head of the serpent, the death blow, referring to Jesus on the cross, taking our sins, being our sacrifice so that we can have life through the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6 is another one, right? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Many churches quote this passage during Christmas because it was fulfilled. And in this is the proclamation of the gospel. You see, when Jesus started His earthly ministry, when John and the other disciples were with Him, after He was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan and went out proclaiming the good news, healing, doing miracles, loving on the unlovable, and then being crucified and killed, placed in the tomb for 3 days, and then resurrected from the dead. Luke 3:23 tells us that Jesus was about 30 years of age when He started His ministry. Now, both of these beginnings that I shared with you are both true. And I lean towards the second thought because it aligns in the context of what John writes here in these opening verses, which is called a prologue. And also, we're going to see it throughout his epistle. John now provides his personal statement, his own account, and he emphasizes the human senses, right? Because we all have human senses, right? Sight, ear, hear, smell, speak, touch. That's all human senses, anatomically and physiologically. That's a good Scrabble word. I think it's like 42 points. But it's referring to the actual physical parts of the body and how it operates, the physiological. And John emphasizes these things to present his position. You see, today in the court of law, a credible witness that provides an eyewitness statement to events that were seen, that were heard, this is referred to as direct evidence. Meaning that if I were to eyewitness a crime and they call me to testify in court, I go up on the stand and I give my statement of what I saw, what I heard. That is the nail in the coffin, so to speak, for that person, because now they're going to be found guilty. That's the weight of a personal statement. And that's what John is doing here. Another thing that we should point out before we dive into these passages is that John continually uses the words we, our, and us. He doesn't say, I, me. He's referring to the other apostles, the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ that were with him, that encountered all of these things. And I love that he says us, because in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, it says two or three witnesses. Upon the statement of two or three witnesses, that's a done deal. You're done. You're guilty. And John knew this, and that was also practiced in the day and age of Jesus, of John. Because when Jesus was tried illegally, who did they bring forth? The Pharisees, a bunch of witnesses who lied, by the way. And so this is something that is practiced. And John is saying, hey, guys, it's not just me. It's all my other homies. We all saw this. I know what Jesus smells like. I know what he liked to eat for breakfast. I know the things that made him happy and the things that made him sad. Do you know Jesus like that? And we have these accounts of these men. You read the Gospel, Matthew, one of the disciples, all that he wrote, his personal account. Peter, right? We just went through Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter attested to these things. And so here John writes, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This word heard is the same word that's used in verse 3 and verse 5 of 1 John. And it means to understand, perceive what is said by the ear. This word seen, it's also used in verse 2 and 3. It means to see with the eyes, the physical eyes, to look to. And notice that John has to write that. He says, with our eyes. Because knowing the false teachings, they probably would have came and said, oh, he saw it in his mind's eye, right? That it really wasn't with his physical eyes. No, John writes, with our eyes. He says that we looked upon. This Greek word is theomai. It means to view attentively, to learn by looking. This is where we get the English word theater from. When you go to the theater, why do you go to the theater? It ain't the popcorn, because it's $80 a bag nowadays. You go there to sit, to watch, and to be entertained and see what is before you. That's the word John uses here.
Who opened your prison doors?
God.
Who dried up your ocean floor?
God.
You've been listening to God's Amazing Grace with Pastor Kaleo Sorrell of Calvary Chapel, Leeward Coast. Mahalo for joining us as we study God's Word together. If you're on the Leeward Coast of Oahu, our fellowship meets Sunday mornings at 9:30 and Thursday nights at 7. Wake up and come on out. We are located at 87672 Farrington Highway in Ma'ili. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelleawardcoast.com. Aloha, ahui ho, ma'alama pono. Until next time, may you know God's amazing grace.
How you know it was him? If you got a savior who broke your chains, if you got a maker who made a way, prison doors.
Got it, got it.
Who dried up your ocean floor?